Norris and Davis Show.
105.7 The Fan.
Once again, for those of you who want to know about the parade, City Hall around 10:45, and then they will head on down towards the stadium. I think they go, what is it, Commerce Street to Pratt Street to Howard Street to the stadium, right?
Exactly.
And they're expected to be there around 12:30. The parking lots open up around the stadium, free parking, 9 a.m. The stadium opens up at 10. Very curious to see how many people are.
I wonder if people down
30,000, 70,000?
Yeah, 100,000.
Yeah, if you're down there.
If you're down there, what's it like? Call us.
Give us a call, 410-583-1057. Joe was on Letterman last night. Great interview. We played it for you. We'll continue to play clips throughout the morning.
And when the lights went out, did you find that unnerving? I found it unnerving. I wasn't anywhere near Louisiana.
Yeah. I just thought it was a little strange. It was kind of funny. I mean, some of our guys had a good time with it. Jacoby's from New Orleans, so he started to look into the crowd and get them all going and had a lot of fun with it. We didn't play too well afterwards, but that wasn't really...
That's what I wonder about.
Yeah, because, I don't know if that was the reason.
But the lights go out. It's 28-6. It's just out of halftime, and bang, zoom, we're 28-6. The lights go out. You don't find that suspicious?
Believe me, don't get me started. My dad is a big conspiracy theorist, so that's the last thing we need to talk about.
Have you seen all the pictures going around the internet?
Yes.
Jim Harbaugh flipping the switch. Yeah. Peyton Manning I saw flipping the switch. Tom Brady, a photo of him, social media, pulling the plug.
There's one for everybody. I'd like to know why. How does that happen, though? I mean, it's happened, I guess, on occasion, but man, right in the middle of the Super Bowl with a commanding lead like that. I'm not saying it happened, but boy, it does get your suspicions going. And it was such a blow to the Ravens. But
let's bring in Kevin Coward, great columnist from the Baltimore Sun, joining us here in the Norris and Davis Show. Kevin, I thought Joe did a great job on Letterman last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of a perfect venue for him in a way, Steve, because, you know, the whole low-key thing works with Letterman.
Yeah.
Letterman's going to be the guy that carries everything. He's going to be the guy getting the laughs. But if you've got that kind of personality that Joe has, you can just, you know, it just makes for a great interview in that setting. And Joe looked sharp, and, the whole thing really worked.
Hey, Kevin, can you see Joe getting national commercials where they kind of portray him as like this stoic guy, like, you know, buildings blowing up around him, and he's completely, you know, calm and cool?
Yeah, you know, Ed, I mean, look, the guy is never going to be Peyton Manning. He's not that kind of a personality. He's not that effusive, you know. But absolutely, I mean, the thing about Joe is he's got this squeaky clean image. And, I don't buy this stuff that he's a dull guy by any means. But he's just, you know, he's Joe. He's low-key. But he's got such a great image. And what he went through, I mean, he's been through criticism. People sort of see that in a lot of ways this Super Bowl was redemption for the guy. And so I do think, I think he's perfect for a lot of commercial endorsements. And, and his personality is, he is who he is. And he's very comfortable with who he is, too. And I think people see that. Even people, as you guys know, there's a lot of haters of the Ravens out there.
Mm-hmm.
But people look at Joe and, they see a guy who's just a regular guy, hasn't let all this go to his head. So, yeah, I think I can see him having national endorsements. Absolutely.
And you know what? We have no idea what kind of guy Aaron Rodgers is, and they've turned him into the discount double check guy.
Right.
And the reality is this, you can make, as long as if you're articulate and you can memorize your lines, mm-hmm. they can make you into some, we don't know how many guys.
Rodgers was kind of petty on that 60 Minutes piece.
Right, 60 Minutes piece, he didn't come off well, but we don't know. We just have, Drew Brees seems to be pretty comfortable in front of the camera, pretty conversational guy. Peyton has been very funny in those commercials, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of guys. I've interviewed plenty of in my life, and you have as well, Kevin, athletes that are as bland as hell, and people would never know it.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the thing. I think what you see in Joe is a genuineness. And I think you'd see it in Aaron Rodgers, too. I think you see it in Drew Brees, too. I just don't think you have to be the backslapping, charismatic, look-at-me guy to get endorsements these days by any means. Joe is going to come out of this looking really good. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the contract, whether they franchise him, whether he gets a big deal. Either way, he's going to come out of it looking good. And I think the endorsement threshold for him is limitless. This guy's going to get a ton of endorsements.
Hey, guys, look at Cal. Cal's not funny. Yeah, Cal's not dynamic. Cal's done fine. Brooks didn't make anybody laugh with slapstick. he had endorsements. He was loved.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, now onto the other players. What about the rest of the team? You know, it's funny, they've won the Super Bowl. They haven't even had the celebration yet. People are saying, can they repeat? They were the oldest team in the playoffs. Went through all the franchise, you know, the players that are going to be unrestricted free agents and restricted free agents. What do you think about them going forward?
You know, we have really no way of knowing what's going to happen, Ed, in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as contracts go and who they decide to retain. But I'll tell you something. I don't know how you guys feel. Just repeating in the NFL is just so hard. I mean, this season is such a grind. You know, every game is this huge passion play. I mean, you know, to go through a season, you have to be incredibly lucky. You have to be incredibly good, and you have to have incredible perseverance. So, you know, the idea of repeating, I don't even think you think about that. You know, if it works out, fine. Certainly the Ravens have a great nucleus to work with next year. You know, Ozzie Newsome has been terrific in restocking the team over the years. I think the offense really took a major, major step forward in the playoffs. But, you know, who knows? I mean, it's just too early to tell. It's going to be interesting in the next few weeks to see what kind of moves they make. Who are they keeping? I mean, Anquan Boldin. And I would assume that they want to keep him now, but, you know, is there enough money to do this? So we'll have to see. But I just think repeating is very, very difficult.
Well, I think you have a question if you're the Ravens. And the question is this. Do you sit here and say, you know what, we have a small window with some of these guys, not all of our guys, with some of these guys. So do we try to repeat and run the risk, obviously, that we're going to have some salary cap issues in a year or two or three? Or do we say, you know what, we're going to toe the line of never getting too much into cap jail? My point is this. A guy like an Anquan Boldin, cap-wise, not particularly friendly. At the end of the line, we saw what he did with Joe. Do you say, you know what, we're going to have some cap issues next year or the year after, but we're keeping Anquan Boldin? Ed Reed, another example. If we keep Ed Reed, we're going to have some cap issues in a year or two, and we've got to account for the signing bonus, because the only way to keep these guys is to give them big bonuses. That, right. You can't count it against the cap. Do we do it with him? If Matt Burke says, guys, I want to do this again, do you say we're going to turn it over to Gino Gradkowski, who's cheap, or are we going to keep Matt Burke? I mean, I think that this is almost a philosophical decision for the Ravens. Do we toe the line and try to keep balance, or do we sit there and say, we're going to go for it again? The problem is we could have another 2002, which is have to have a purge.
Yeah, well, I'm not a capologist, but I got to believe the Ravens are leaning to door number two in that scenario, Steve. I mean, this is a team that can definitely contend again next year. I'd be shocked if they don't go all out to try to make it work. You know, you painted a few of the scenarios under the cap, and so they're going to have to work on that. But, you know, everything that I've seen from this team could win it again. I mean, this team will certainly contend again next year. So I'd be shocked if over at the Castle they're not thinking, hey, we're going to go for it again. We're going to try to make it work one way or the other. I got to tell you guys, I talked to a former Raven last night whose name I probably shouldn't mention, and he says even with the Joe Flacco negotiations, you know, this is an organization that looks at the whole, okay, and tries not to let one individual be too big. And he said, you know, they're going to tread slowly with the Joe Flacco negotiations. This is not something they don't want to do something that's going to upset the balance for the rest of the team money-wise. So, a lot of questions in the coming weeks, but I'd be shocked if the Ravens don't say, hey, listen, this was a great year. We've still got a great nucleus. We're going to go for it again next year.
They came a drop pass from going 2 years in a row last year and this year.
Exactly.
And what about, Kevin, before we let you go, Ray Lewis, I mean, last ride, goes out with a Super Bowl ring, you know, second one, iconic figure, even nationally, but do you think he's going to play well on the national scene? He's not, I can't see him as the type of guy that's going to give a real critical opinion of a player analyzing a game, and he's pretty polarizing outside here.
Yeah, he really is, Ed. You know, I mean, look, at Ray Lewis has always been terrific for to the Baltimore media. I really like the guy. But, you know, when his name was first mentioned as an ESPN commentator in whatever role that they put him in, I just was a little surprised. I mean, it just doesn't seem to me that that's Ray Lewis's role, that he'd be comfortable in that role at all. no matter what they think of him nationally in terms of how he's perceived outside of Baltimore. I just don't think that he's going to be comfortable in that role, but it looks like they're going to you know, squeeze him into it and see how it works. Yeah. So we'll have to see, but I think the guy is, you know, he's obviously talented. I'm just not sure that this is something that he'll excel at.
Yeah, me either.
Hey, Kevin, as long as we have you, maybe you could help us a little bit. We're having trouble decoding something this morning. So maybe maybe you can help. You decode this for us, okay? This was Ray after the game.
When you believe in what you believe in, no matter what happens, no matter what people believe, the ultimate is the ultimate. And this is the ultimate.
Okay, Kevin.
Hey, I think he's saying you got to believe, guys. As for what you got to believe in, I'm not sure. I didn't get that part.
I don't know what the hell he said.
Hey, it's Ray being Ray. What can you say?
All right, Kevin. People can read all of Kevin's great stuff, BaltimoreSun.com, and in the print edition. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
So Kevin Coward joining us right here on The Fan. Back on your phone calls, 410-583-1057. Talking about with the ratings with the Super Bowl, and everybody says the most watched shows ever. Our Super Bowls, there is a caveat to that. We'll let you know next.
With the confetti launched and drifting down onto the field.
Super Bowl 47 champions.
The Baltimore.